Entertained a motion about a recess back into public hearings?
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Hudson, second, Mr. Riley. Any questions on the motion? We'll take a vote, Mr. Riley?
Yes.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Now we're back in session for public hearing. Mr. Moore?
Thank you, Mr. President. I'll read the rules of procedure for council zoning hearings. When council holds public hearings on zoning applications, they are legislative hearings because council uses the information obtained during the hearings to decide whether to adopt an ordinance to attend to amend the comprehensive zoning map in the manner requested by the applicant. Sussex County in its zoning land use decisions does not discriminate against persons based on race, color, religion, national origin, disability, familial status, source of income, sex, creed, marital status, age, gender identity, or sexual orientation. Public comments made on the basis of bias and stereotype concerning people within these protected classes will not be taken into consideration by the county in its deliberations. Each application shall be announced. The director will review with council the minutes and testimony from the commission hearing, and those minutes will be made part of the record along with any exhibits introduced at the commission hearing and any recommendation made by the commission. The applicant will be called on to present and explain their application and present reasons supporting their application. Council may question the applicant and their witnesses. After the applicant has presented their application, council will provide an opportunity for anyone else who favors the application to speak. After that, any persons who oppose or question the application will be allowed to state the reasons for their opposition or questions. There will be no rebuttal by the applicant, and the hearing will be closed unless council decides to leave the record open for a specific purpose and time period. Further, the applicant will not be allowed to question persons who speak in opposition, and persons who speak in opposition will not be allowed to question the applicant or their witnesses. If you intend to speak and are present in the chambers, you're required to come to the front and stand at the speaker stand and state your name and home address before you make a statement. If you participate telephonically, please state your name and address before you give your statement. When you speak, please turn off any electronics and make sure there's no background noise or discussions. If you represent or speak for a group organization, please identify who you represent. When you make your statement, please be concise. Do not repeat yourself. If you have a written statement, hand it to me and it will be made part of the record. If there is more than one witness for the applicant or more than one person in opposition, please do not repeat points that a prior speaker has already stated. If testimony is repetitive, then you may be asked to move on to another point or topic. Remember, it is the quality of the testimony that is persuasive, not the quantity. All persons in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion. No applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. If you have a cell phone, pager, beeper, or other telephonic device with you, please take the time now to turn it off or switch it to silent service. At the conclusion of the hearing on each application, council may either approve it, deny it, or defer it to a later date. If the commission has not issued its recommendation report at the time of the council hearing, council will defer action on the application in those cases. In those cases only, council shall accept and consider written comments from the public on the commission's recommendation to the council for a period of 5 calendar days from the commission's issuance of its recommendations. This does not preclude the council from requesting additional information as otherwise permitted. Furthermore, once the record is closed, the council, on my advice, will not read or respond substantively to any mail, email, text, or engage in any conversations about the application. Their decision will be made only based on the record established at both the council and commission hearings. Mr. President, the first case today is conditional use number 2290. Mr. Whitehouse.
Thank you. This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a contractor flex space to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broadkill 100, Sussex County, containing 7.12 acres, more or less. The property is lying on the west side of the intersection of Lewis Georgetown Highway, which is Route 9, and Prettyman Road, which is Sussex County Route 254. The 911 address is not available, and the tax parcel ID is District 235, Map 30, Parcel 6.21, and staff would note a portion of that parcel. Submitted into the record, Mr. President, we have a copy of the applicant's site plan, a copy of the applicant's exhibit booklet, a copy of the staff analysis, a copy of the DELDOT service level evaluation response. We have a copy of a letter that's been received from the Sussex County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division. We also have a copy of the Azalea Woods traffic impact study entered into the record. Staff would note that we have received one mail return and one letter of support. The application was subject to a public hearing before the Planning and Zoning Commission at its meeting of March 24th of this year, and at its meeting of April 14th of this year, the Commission recommended approval of the application subject for the six reasons and subject to the 13 recommended conditions as outlined in the motion. And Mr. President, a copy of that motion along with the draft minutes of both of those meetings is included in Council's paperless packet. Thank you.
Okay, any questions from Council? If not, Mr. Hutt.
Thank you, Mr. Moore. Mr. Whitehouse. Good afternoon, members of council. For the record, my name is David Hutt, a local attorney here in the Georgetown office of Morris James. This afternoon, I'm representing the owner and applicant for the conditional use that was just introduced, and that is Toback Development LLC. And to my left and your right is Matt Toback. I'm sorry, on the end, I was pointing to the engineer, sorry. And sitting next to him, who I was pointing to incorrectly, is Carlton Savage, a professional engineer with Scaled Engineering. As this was just introduced by Mr. Whitehouse, this afternoon's application is for contractor flex space at the intersection of Route 9, the Lewis Georgetown Highway, which on the image around the room runs from left to right, and Prettyman Road, which meets Route 9 at an angle there of just on this side of the property. The first question that I think crossed your mind is, what is contractor flex space? And I think that I know that was one of the first questions, because when this ordinance was introduced many months ago, I believe the question was asked at that time, even at the introduction level, as to what exactly is contractor flex space. And essentially, in its simplest form, contractor flex space is a building with individual units where there's a business area in the front where there could be an office or a showroom, and then in the back there is essentially a storage or work area. Stating that a little differently, the front of the building will have a person door or a man door for entry and exit, and the back of the building will have a garage door for entry and exit. So that's what a contractor flex space is. And the reason that Mr. Toback wanted to move forward with this application is because he is a builder, and so he works with a lot of different trades as part of his normal daily activities. And in that, a number of those individuals have expressed a need for a location where they can have a small business office or a small showroom type place and then have a place to store materials or do light work in the rear of that unit. Somewhere that's located, you know, close to a lot of where they are performing whatever trade it is that they perform. And this concept is not foreign to Sussex County. In fact, along Route 9, there is the Harbison Business Park directly across from the trails of Beaver Creek. And if you look at that, that's essentially what I've just attempted to describe as contractor flex space. Two of the businesses that are in there, if you were to drive by right now, you'd see a sign for Rogers Graphics, and certainly they have materials and such in the back of that location, and a place in the front where you could meet with them and say whatever the graphic was that you wanted, and also just a place for them to do their basic bookkeeping and those types of activities. Another business that's in the Harbison Business Park, and that was at tab, there's a picture of that in case it doesn't immediately come to mind, at tab 9 in your exhibit book, there was a picture of Harbison Business Park. But another business that's in there is the Bath Kitchen and Tile Company, and so if a person wanted to, they could meet with the contractor there or even at their place of residence, but that allows the contractor to have a place for their paperwork and then to have their tile, grout, and other materials at the rear of the unit. With that background on the flex space concept itself, I did want to review the property's location and some of its other land use and entitlement process characteristics. As I mentioned at the outset and when it was introduced, the property is a little more than 7 acres at the intersection of Route 9 and Prettyman Road. And as many of you will recognize, that is what most people refer to as the Greater Harbison area. Looking at the screens around the room, this is the intersection of Route 5 and Route 9, which of course recently DelDOT completed the widening of that roadway to help preserve the cemetery here that was always seemed to be struck by vehicles rounding the corner too tightly. Of course, across the street from that is Arroyo Farms, and most people will recognize the Allen Harim plant that's here. And then, of course, there are a number of residential neighborhoods in the area. In this area here, you have Beaver Dam Estates, and next to Beaver Dam Estates, you have Deerwood. The property is zoned AR1, as you can see, given the absence of a coloring on that zoning map. You can see the property is outlined here, and I'll start along. This is a lot of the Route 9 corridor in the Harbison area. This is the intersection of Hudson Road and Fisher Road. And of course, this blue area here, many of you will recognize, that is the new Bay Health facility that's presently under construction. Across the street from that is a Dollar General store. And then as you start to head west along Route 9, many of you will recognize that there are some self-storage facilities along here. There's some residential neighborhoods. You can see the C1, CR1, and this was the institutional zoning. So there's a mixture of zoning classifications. Of course, here you have the trails of Beaver Creek, and across the street from that are more commercial uses, one of those being the Harbison Business Park that I mentioned a few moments ago, describing the contractor flex space. As you travel along closer to the intersection of 5 and 9, this was approximately 35 acres that was rezoned to C2. Across the street, there's a number of established commercial activities and businesses, including a construction business. At the intersection itself, of course, of Route 5 and 9, you have the Royal Farms that I mentioned. There is a location here for Compass Points Surveyors. That is zoned CR1. Of course, the gray here is the heavy industrial that is Allen Harim. At this location here, of course, is the site itself. As you continue west along Route 9, you can see there is this area here, this color here, which is also C2. And that C2 was just rezoned this past February. And that is for executive lawn management. Across the street from that is the Deerwood community that I referenced earlier. And as you head, further west on Route 9, this is the new community called Hawthorne. And then as you get to the intersection with Gravel Hill Road, that's another familiar intersection as DelDOT has its yard on the south side. And across the street from that is Beshe Furniture, as well as the Weston Willow Apartments that are under construction. And as you can see on the tax map, those are C1 zoning classifications as well. So along this area of Route 9, there are a number of mixture of both zoning classifications as well as uses ranging from residential to commercial and industrial and institutional. The state strategies maps identify this property as being in a level 4 on the county's 2045 future land use map in the comprehensive plan. The property is shown as being in a low density area. And the proposed use of contractor flex space is consistent with low density areas because when you look at the permitted uses for that, the comprehensive plan talks about providing convenient areas for businesses, addressing the needs of homes and property in the immediate area and then the surrounding area. And that is certainly the purpose of this afternoon's application. In addition, there's materials in the project book to show that the property is not within a floodplain, as it's in an area designated Zone X, which of course is outside the 500-year floodplain. There are no wetlands located on the property. With respect to utilities, both public water and public sewer is available through Artesian, through the Artesian Water Company and Artesian Wastewater Management, Inc. With respect to traffic, as it was indicated by Mr. Whitehouse when he introduced it, DLDOT did respond to the service level evaluation request and indicated that the proposed use would have a minor impact on the local roadways and that the developer could pay an area-wide study fee in lieu of doing a traffic impact study. And you heard one of the reasons for that, as DLDOT evaluated it, was because there was a traffic impact study done as part of Azalea Woods, and so that was returned to the county as part of the response from DLDOT on this. With that description of the overall area, as well as the site characteristics of the property, I did want to briefly review the site plan because this is a conditional use. As you can see, just to help orient everyone, this is Prettyman Road along this part of the image, and then of course Route 9 is running in this direction. There are two buildings proposed with a total of 46,800 square feet of area. The front building consisting of approximately 27,000 square feet, and the rear building being just under 20,000 square feet at 19,800. The proposed entrance is off of Prettyman Road, and you can see that if a person were to come in on that entrance, on the left-hand side would be the first stormwater management pond, which is proposed to be an infiltration pond. As a person would come into the site, of course, the two buildings would be located there, and then for additional stormwater management, there would be another stormwater management pond near the rear of the property. As you can see from this rendering of the proposed buildings, what is proposed has a little more architectural character than just an ordinary plain pole building, and that was by design because the building will face onto Route 9. And as you can see, as shown in the elevations, this would be the front of the building, of course, so this is where there would be the people door, the person door to enter the building from the front. And then if we go back to the site plan, the garage doors would be back to back here for somebody to have supplies or materials delivered to those locations. The application this afternoon, as council is familiar with, is a conditional use that's in front of you. And as you know, conditional uses are appropriate when the use is public or semi-public in character and for the convenience and welfare of area residents, and where it promotes the general convenience, orderly growth, and prosperity of the county. And that is essentially why the conditional use tool was chosen for this, is because these types of businesses are needed to support the local residents in the area. And in fact, when you look at Chapter 4 of the comprehensive plan, and specifically when you look at the permitted uses for low density areas, it talks about business development. It states that business development should be largely confided to businesses addressing the needs of two uses, agricultural activities and homes. And so this would largely address the need for homes with contractors and such being able to have a place. In addition, the comprehensive plan goes on to state commercial uses in these residential areas should be limited in their location, size, and hours of operation. And as you know, that's what sets a conditional use apart from the change of zone application, is with the conditions, and as was indicated when Mr. Whitehouse introduced it, there are proposed conditions A through M, but with those conditions, council can ensure that the use does not interfere with the uses of neighboring and adjacent properties so that it does benefit the county and provides for the general convenience, orderly growth, and prosperity. With the conditions that were proposed or recommended rather by the Planning Commission, many of which were proffered by the applicant as part of its presentation at that public hearing, I did want to highlight a couple of those. One of those is that all the work has to be performed indoors, so there would be no outdoor work at the site, as you can see it around the screen, and that is one of the express conditions that the Planning Commission recommended. A similar condition, again, so in addition that all work would have to be performed indoors, there's no outside storage, so the site would be empty except when, of course, during business hours when there's either the contractors there or meeting with somebody regarding something. In addition, there were specific signage requirements that were recommended as conditions, and that is to allow us for a sign along Prettyman Road as well as a sign along Route 9, and then for there to be 150 square feet of sign for each individual unit as basically a wall sign on the building. And that's very similar to the signage requirements that would exist for a C2 zoning for this. And as you saw when we looked at the zoning map, there is a number of properties in the immediate area that have that C2 zoning designation. In fact, if you were to look, and I referenced this application at the very outset of the presentation, but the executive lawn rezoning, which was change of zone application 1944, that council approved at the end of February, just a couple months ago. I referenced that not only, of course, because it's geographically close to this site, so it has similar characteristics in that respect, and is also, of course, timely, having been just decided by council. But I mentioned it, I referenced that and I included its findings and the ordinance for it in the project notebook because of the similarity, of course, with this site. And you can see that in finding that a change of zone was appropriate along this part of Route 9, part of that consideration was the support for consumer sales and performance of consumer services, which is what's proposed with this contractor flex space. In addition, those findings indicated, of course, the location of this property along Route 9. And of course, this is Route 9 is a roadway that's designated by DLDOT as a principal arterial highway. And in the county code, it's referred to as a major arterial. Of course, those are places where it's appropriate to have commercial type businesses is along major arterial roadways. In addition, in that change of zone application, one of the findings was that this would benefit the nearby residents as this provides convenient access to Route 9 and Route 5. And of course, as you know, that means that there's convenient access to Lewis, Milton, Georgetown, and on all those areas that fall within those various zip codes and designations. With all of that background and information, that concludes my presentation. The applicant would request that council adopt the recommendation of the Planning Commission with respect to this conditional use, along with the conditions that are set forth in that. Myself and the rest of my team are certainly available to answer any questions that council may have.
Thank you, Mr. Hutt. I must say that's the shortest presentation you've ever given.
Well, I was chided last time I was here, so I needed to do better.
Are there any questions from council?
Could you show me where these 150-foot signs are going to be?
Yeah.
150-foot square foot signs on this building?
That's my question.
Five of them, how many are going to be?
Where you see that says logo? That's essentially above each of the units. You know, the unit would run essentially from this unit would run from this line over here to this line over here. So there would be, you know, a sign for, you know, whatever that kind, you know, somebody's tile business. Okay. Right there. So each unit could have that in front of it, and that's what they tried to show on this rendering.
Okay. Could you also show the entrance off Prettyman Road to this? How do you get to the front of that building?
Right. You would come in off of Prettyman Road.
Okay.
And then you would just continue on. This will be the drive aisle right here. As you came in past that stormwater management pond that I referenced, you would just continue this way. And if you were going to this building, of course, you would make a right and then head back behind here. And of course, you could, those drive aisles go all the way around each of the individual buildings. So, you know, if you come in, you can, traffic can circulate through. And if there's deliveries being made, you know, they can circulate through as well.
While he has that up, can I ask a quick question?
Sure.
The entrance on Prettyman Road, can you pull that back down? That's across the street's Francis Prettyman's auto repair shop, right? Francis is deceased now, but isn't that correct?
Yes,
that is correct.
And the applicant is also the developer of those residential lots?
That's correct, these four lots right here.
Okay.
Any other questions?
I have a question. I know motels and restaurants have parking amounts that you must have for each unit. Well, how does that fit in this? Is there a requirement for how many parking spaces?
It's sort of an amalgam of uses the site plan showed what was proposed with respect to parking. And so that's what so these are the sections that are the parking sections in the code.
Yep.
And so it's sort of a combination there of the wholesaling and then the loading. As you can see, I have a cursor over there. And so that's what was used as the basis. Those were the closest things that this was similar to within.
I was wondering how you come to that, because you don't know exactly what's going in these buildings yet, or in these fronts, the store fronts. That's what I was thinking about in my head.
That is correct. And again, those are the closest items. And then when you look at the conditions that were proposed by the Planning Commission, I think those help to also provide those guardrails. Because, for instance, one of the prohibited uses is retail. And as you know, retail would have a much higher level of parking places.
Yep.
So if that's prohibited, then that makes these the most likely use or terms within the parking code that should be used as far as setting the correct number of parking places for the buildings.
Okay, thank you.
Anything else? If not, do you have anything else to add, Mr. Hutt?
I do not.
Okay, thank you. Is there anyone else in the room that would like to speak in favor of this application? Anyone that would like to speak in favor? Is there anyone here today that would like to speak in opposition to this application? Anyone in opposition? Seeing none, operator, can you check to see if there is anyone listening remotely that would like to opine on this matter?
At this time, there is no one online.
Okay, thank you, operator. Mr. President, at this time, we can close the public hearing on this matter. If council desires, close public record.
We'll close the public hearing. If it's okay with council, close public record. Ask Mr. Morby a short title.
Thank you, Mr. President. An ordinance granting conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for contractor flex space to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broadkill 100, Sussex County, containing 7.12 acres, more or less, for the reasons given by planning and zoning numbered 1 through 6, with conditions 7A through M.
Pleasure, Council.
I will make a motion for approval based on the recommendation of Planning and Zoning Commission and based on the fact of the like-kind uses in the area.
Motion, Mr. Schaefer. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second, Mr. Riley. Any questions on the motion? We will take the vote. Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Based on?
Based on recommendation of Planning and Zoning Commission.
Thank you. Mrs. Green.
I vote yes based on the recommendation of Planning and Zoning and the testimony given here today.
Mr. Riley.
I will vote yes based on Planning and Zoning's recommendations and conditions.
I will also vote yes based on Planning and Zoning's recommendations and conditions.
I also agree with Planning and Zoning's recommendations and conditions. I'll vote yes. Conditional use 2290 is passed. Next, Mr. Moore.
Thank you. Next case, Mr. President. We're going to kind of switch the order of what they were listed on the agenda, Mr. President, because there are three that we're going to be hearing that are going to be combined, but the conditional use needs to actually when we act on it has to come last after the two change of zones first. So I'll read the first. It's change of zone number 1954, also change of zone number 1955, and conditional use number 2315 that we'll be actually voting on in that order. Mr. Whitehouse.
Thank you. Mr. President, I'm going to introduce all three simultaneously because I understand there's a request to consolidate the hearing, the presentations. The first is CZ 1954, which is an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a C3 heavy commercial district for a portion of a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 8.27 acres more or less. The property is lying on the west side of John J. Williams Highway, that's Route 24, approximately 0.25 miles south of the intersection of Autumn Road, which is Sussex County Route 299, and Bay Farm Road, which is Route 299. The 911 address is not available, and the tax parcel ID is District 234, Map 29, Parcel 49.02, and staff would note it's a portion of. Application CZ 1955 is an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to an MR medium density residential district for a portion of certain parcels of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 17.63 acres more or less. The property is lying on the west side of John J. Williams Highway, that's Route 24, approximately 0.25 miles south of the intersection of Autumn Road, which is Sussex County Route 299, and Bay Farm Road, which is Route 299. The 911 address is not available, and the tax parcel ID is District 234, Map 29, Parcel 49.02, a portion of 49.03 and 50.00. An application CU 2315 is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an MR medium density residential district for multi-family units, 140 units, to be located on certain parcels of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 17.63 acres more or less. The property is also lying on the west side of John J. Williams Highway, which is Route 24, approximately 0.25 miles south of the intersection of Autumn Road, which is Sussex County Route 299, and Bay Farm Road, which is Route 299. The 911 address is not available, and the tax parcel ID is District 234, Map 29, Parcel 49.02, and its portion of Parcel 49.03 and Parcel 50.00. Submitted into the record, Mr. President, for all three applications, we have a copy of the applicant's site plan, a copy of the staff analysis, a copy of the DLDOT service level evaluation responses, a copy of the PLUS comments, a copy of a letter from Sussex County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division. I would note we have 7 mail returns for each of the applications, and we have 2 letters of opposition. That latest letter of opposition received after paperless packet was published yesterday has been circulated in printed form. All three applications were subject to public hearings before the Planning and Zoning Commission at its meeting of March 24th of this year, and at its meeting of April 14th of this year, and I'll read them individually, application CZ 1954 was recommended approval for the 7 reasons as outlined in the motion, and application CZ 1955 was recommended for approval for the 8 reasons as outlined in the motion, and application CU 2315 was recommended approval for the 6 reasons stated and subject to the 16 recommended conditions as outlined in the motion. And Mr. President, finally, copies of all three of those motions and the draft minutes of both of those meetings are included in your paperless packets. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any questions from council? Seeing none, Ms. Pete.
Good afternoon, everyone. Mackenzie Pete, for the record, with Baird Mandalas Brockstead. I'm here today with co-counsel Steve Spence, as well as Carlton Savage, PE of Scaled Engineering. I'm here specifically on behalf of applicant American Storage of Delaware, LLC. The applicant intends to construct a mixed-use development with multifamily residential housing and a commercial facility, storage facility component as well, requiring the submissions of 3 applications, as summarized by Director Whitehouse, denominated Change of Zone 1954, Change of Zone 1955, and Conditional Use 2315. The site, as stated, is located on the western side of John J. William Highway, Route 24, south of Ushot Lane in Millsboro, Delaware. The site is located in the Indian River 100 and is composed of tax map parcel numbers 234-29-49.02, 49.03, and 50. Although there are 3 separate applications, as stated, I have consolidated my presentation to address all three applications in one presentation, with the understanding that the council will vote on each application separately at the conclusion of my presentation. To summarize each application, change of zone 1954 requests a rezoning of an 8.27-acre portion of tax map parcel number 234-29-49.02. And I would, could I pull up the site plan? That would be helpful. Thank you. And it's specifically defined as parcel one on the preliminary site plan. From AR1 to C3 to ultimately develop 150,000 square feet of commercial storage space for a three-story mini warehouse to consist of 838 storage units and 1,200 square feet of office space, a permitted use in C3 or a similarly permitted C3 use. Change of zone 1955 requests a rezoning of the back portion of these properties, a 17.63-acre portion of tax map parcel number 234-29-49.02 and tax map parcel number 234-29-49.03 and 50, defined as parcel 2 on the preliminary site plan from AR1 to MR to develop the multifamily development, a use requiring the applicant to seek a conditional use that I will get to if the property is rezoned to MR. And so finally, the request before you is a conditional use to 2315, requesting a conditional use for development of 140 multifamily units on that 17.63-acre portion of the parcels I just described, subject to the rezoning approval of AR1 to MR. The project is specifically located in investment levels 2 and 3 according to the Strategies for State Policies and Spending map. Investment level 2 areas reflect areas where growth is anticipated in the near term, and investment 3, as you know, reflects areas where growth is anticipated in the longer term. As confirmed by the PLUS comments, the Office of State Planning and Coordination has no objection to the proposed rezoning and development subject to compliance with county regulations and the zoning code. Nearby commercial and residential developments exist. Some nearby residential developments, including Victoria's Landing, River Breeze, and Seabrook, are in the vicinity of the site. Nearby commercial uses include a shopping center at the intersection of Route 24 and Bay Farm Road, which is the location of Harris Teeter, Walgreens, and other fast food establishments that you may be familiar with. Past that intersection, at the intersection of Route 24 and Long Neck Road, Route 23, are additional commercial uses, including a car wash, the Giant grocery store, Cadia Healthcare, and other fast food establishments, including Dunkin' Donuts and McDonald's, to name two. At the opposite intersection of Route 24 and Mount Joy Road are rural farms, a church, and smaller strip mall that includes a deli and tattoo parlor, among other uses in that strip mall. The project is specifically located in the coastal area, a designated growth area, and mixed-use development like the proposed project is permitted in the coastal area. The applicant's plan is consistent with the comprehensive plan, and the applicant's plan complies with the coastal area requirements of Section 115-194.3. And because the use specifically proposes over 50 or more units, and also more than 75,000 square feet of commercial space, the applicant also had to submit an environmental assessment and public facilities report that is submitted as Exhibit F into the record. I would like to highlight some relevant points of that report rather than reading everything to you. In terms of stormwater management, a combination of wet ponds, planted buffers, and infiltration practices will be used for stormwater treatment and discharge in accordance with the State of Delaware and Sussex County Conservation District standards. Potable water will be provided by Tidewater Utilities, Inc., as confirmed in the Will Serve letter included in Exhibit F. Sewer will be provided by Sussex County, and the current plan generates the need for 140 EDUs and a single for the 140 multifamily units and a single bathroom facility for the storage facility component, estimating the need for 3 additional EDUs. Sewer and water infrastructure necessary to connect to the public utilities will be constructed by the developer, and electric will be provided by Delmarva Power. The increase in traffic and effect on surrounding roadways will be analyzed, reviewed, and approved by DelDOT. As the PLUS comments indicate, the proposed improvements will generate less than 2,000 average daily traffic trips per day and less than 200 peak hour vehicle trips as well, allowing the developer to pay an area-wide study fee in lieu of having to perform a TIS, and that is specifically estimated at $710 for this project. DelDOT also anticipates requiring the developer to contribute to a DelDOT project presently scheduled for construction this summer at the intersections of Route 24 and Mount Joy, as well as Route 24 and Bay Farm Road. The mandatory shared use path required by DelDOT will be added to the final site plan, and the applicant will also be addressing DelDOT's comments that at least two walkways to connect the interior of the site to that shared use path along Route 24 also be added to the plan. Mr. Linnae's assessment of environmental conditions and features included within Exhibit F confirm that there are no critical habitat areas existing on the site, no federally listed threatened or endangered species on the site, and no wetlands, streams, or drainage conveyances either. The site is presently vacant and consists of 11.5 acres of agricultural land and 14.4 acres of relatively immature trees that had been actually clear-cut in 2004, as confirmed by Mr. Linnae. The applicant understands that the preservation of natural resources and open space is strongly encouraged in the coastal area, and presently proposes roughly 11 acres of open space subject to final site engineering. Specifically, just to briefly review each request again before you. So the first request is the rezoning from AR1 to C3 for the 8.27 acre portion of tax map parcel 234-29-49.02 to ultimately develop 150,000 square feet of commercial storage space as permitted in C3 or a similarly permitted use. The proposed rezoning is compatible with the surrounding community and will not have an adverse effect on immediately adjacent properties or properties located in the vicinity of the site, because the site is located on a commercialized Route 24 in proximity to a number of other commercial uses as stated. The proposed rezoning will support C3 permitted uses that will serve nearby residences and businesses, in addition to being consistent with the comprehensive plan and future land use map for reasons stated. The next request is the rezoning from AR1 to MR for the 17.63 acre portion of tax map parcel 234-29-49.02 and the entirety of tax map parcel numbers 234-29-49.03 and 50 from AR1 to MR to ultimately develop 140 multifamily units. The proposed rezoning from AR1 to MR is compatible with surrounding uses, including not only the nearby GR zone properties, but also the C1 and CR1 properties as well that have more intensive uses, and is therefore compliant with the zoning code and consistent with the comprehensive plan and future land use map. And finally, the applicant is seeking, subject to the rezoning change from AR1 to MR, a conditional use for approval of 140 multifamily units to include a clubhouse and playground amenity on that 17.63 acre parcel as required by code. MR conditional use is necessary in MR for multifamily unit. As you know, conditional uses are appropriate when the uses is generally of public or semi-public character, are essential and desirable for the general convenience and welfare, but because of the nature of the importance of the relationship to the comp plan and possible impact not only to neighboring properties on a large section of the county, require the exercise of planning judgment and review of the site plan. The proposed multifamily development is compatible with surrounding uses, with other medium to high density developments and specifically residential developments in the area located in proximity to the site, including properties zoned CR1, C1, and GR. And there is also a nearby townhome development across the street. For all these reasons, the use and proposed use is consistent with the character of the zone district. And finally, I would just like to address a couple points and some of the reasons provided by the commission with respect to recommending approval of each application. Should the council vote to approve the applicant's requested conditional use for reasons provided by the commission and subject to the conditions proposed by the commission, we would like to make sure there was actually a typo on page one of the conditional use memorandum that suggested that the conditional use portion was 7.12 acres, but it is actually, as I've stated, 17.63 acres. We also ask that condition N be amended to state as follows, that the applicant or a condominium association shall be responsible for maintenance of all interior roadways and so forth. Presently, it states that the applicant's required to form a condominium association, but the applicant may certainly actually be responsible for maintenance of all the interior roadways, parking areas, et cetera, and not actually end up setting up a condominium association.
Excuse me, what condition were you referring to?
Sure, so it's condition N of the conditional use reasons or conditions specifically.
Do you have proposed language for me that what you have?
I do. So it rather than stating what it says, there's just a minor change so that it should now say what we're asking for the language to read is the applicant or a condominium association shall be responsible for the maintenance. And then the rest of that, the remainder of the conditions language is acceptable.
Thank you.
And then the only other point in the first reason of the conditional use application, the draft reasons suggest that, or refer to density at 4 units per acre for single family homes. So we'd like the reason to also reflect permitted density for multifamily units.
And where did you find that, please?
That was on reason one for the conditional use as well. And with that...
And what was that change? I'm sorry.
Just the addition of permitted density for multifamily units. I believe that the reason only references single family permitted density, not multifamily permitted density. And I don't want there to be confusion about what the intended use is.
Since this application complies with the purpose and density of the MR zoning district.
At 4 units per acre, I believe. But then this, with respect to a multifamily... The density would be increased subject to approval of conditional use. But
gotcha.
That is all I have. Do you have any questions?
Mr. Whitehouse, what change do you see is necessary in item one?
In reason one, so the permitted density within the MR district is 4 units per acre, which is correct. But as a conditional use, it can go up to 12 units to the acre. So for precision to say... To say that the permitted density within the MR district as a conditional use is up to 12 dwelling units to the acre would be more precise rather than just stating 4. I agree. So.
And then just delete the last sentence in one, correct?
Correct, yes. And then there was a revision to N as well. So.
Mr. Raleigh, you have a question?
Well, I want to be clear because, I mean, I'm reading this 17.63 acres and 140 units. I mean, that comes out around 8, right?
The proposed density is actually on the plan. I thought it came out right under
7.94 units. So you're taking the density, and that's the density for the entire 17 acres, and we're also building a storage unit on this?
No. So specifically, the entire acreage is...
Okay, so that's not the combined acreage?
No. That is only specific to... I want to get the specific acreage for the entire project. Carlton, do you have the specific numbers on readily available?
Is it in that data column up there?
So it looks like I didn't get any of this.
It's 49.02 on the county records.
Would have been helpful probably to have this to review before sitting here this afternoon. I mean, it's not anything that I've received so far.
This is the first time I've seen this. This has been submitted since we went to the
planning commission. I never got a printed copy. It's not in my computer. It's the first time I've seen this.
I don't know if Mr. Moore or Director Whitehouse can speak to that.
23.9.
So the density, I can assist with that. That's the easy part, Mr. President. I can assist with that, first of all. So 140 units on the 17.63. Mr. Riley's correct. It's 7.94 dwelling units to the acre. If you're calculating that on the entire parcel, there is provision within the zoning code, though, as to how density is calculated for residential purposes. Mm-hmm. It is more accurate to calculate the 140 units on the 17.63 acres that it sits upon rather than including that commercial area to because that would ultimately lower the density below what it actually is. If it's actually 7.94, I would suggest we use that number for the purposes of assessment.
And that is the preferred way of calculating it with when we've got the mixed use, is that correct?
Correct.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And so, then with respect to Councilman Riley not having the documents that we submitted into the record, I'm not sure why that happened, but they have submitted, we submitted the same packet that we used at commission that is presently, or should be before you today as well.
And it should be in the paperless electronic packet, Mr. President, but I appreciate that in this case, paper exhibit books may not have gone out to council members separately to that electronic paperless packet.
So this is 23.9 acres, the total parcel?
Correct.
And 17 point?
6.3 acres are going to be dedicated to the, is the AR to MR one request and the conditional use piece, and then 8 point, and then the other parcel is 8 point.
We're building and selling condominium units, selling them, right, at market rates?
That's the intention. The intention at this point is to sell them or do some type of apartment use, but ultimately multifamily units to be sold. And that would be done in a second phase. The first phase would actually be the commercial use. The commercial portion of the property would be developed first, with the multifamily developed thereafter.
Are these all market, or are any of these going to be affordable? Like, you know, we've introduced our affordable
housing initiative.
And nothing along that type of formula?
I cannot speak to that, and our client's not here for us to speak to that point. I understand your point.
I mean, if you're asking for additional density, and it would be nice to see some give back like that.
Mm-hmm. I guess. And all that, and specifically, the 140 units is all that would be proposed at this point for the conditional use.
At market rates. So,
as far as I know at this point, yes, without consulting with my client, of course.
The parcel, one that we approved that was north of Lewis on
Chapel Farm.
Yeah, Chapel Farm, that's right. That was two different parcels. One was commercial, one was residential, but
the density was calculated on one parcel.
On the entire parcel.
Yeah.
That, my recollection is that was calculated on the one whole parcel, was it not?
It was.
Correct, that one that was.
The density was.
Yes, but here this is not. It's bifurcated. The density is calculated on the one parcel and therefore the residential number. So this gives an actual, what I believe the council was seeking at that point, the confusion with calculating everything as one. Here it's been separated.
Mr. Whitehouse, didn't we change code to make that happen?
Yeah. Yeah. Correct. So the code specifically states now, today,
that you get the density on based on the zoning.
Correct.
Of that piece of property.
So if this were to be rezoned MR and C3, you would not be able to utilize the C3 to gain
right.
density over here.
So. Right. The one before, the code was the old code.
Yes.
And it was the whole piece of property.
Correct.
Exactly.
There's nobody like, but we had to do it.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. So then we changed it since then, so now it is on each section of whatever you're doing.
Correct.
So that green area, aqua, is
17.63 acres.
That's what I mean.
So 7.94, so.
Correct.
On that aqua piece.
Only.
It's not calculating in the
commercial.
No.
That is warehouse.
That's wise to know. Yes, I agree with that.
Any other questions?
So we're saying this conforms to what is currently on the books?
Because of conditional use.
Yeah.
Well, MR is 4.
Right, right.
But
okay.
They do the conditional use, they go to 12.
And as what they requested on the finding, instead of showing with an MR district 4 units per acre, they would be entitled with a conditional use up to 12 units per acre, and this is, you know, approximately a third less than that, a little over a third less than that.
See the conditions.
If you grant a condition.
Yes, if you grant right. the conditional use. Yes, their proposed findings at this point.
2,000 trips per day is what's estimated.
Under, and so they're permitted to have that, to pay the area-wide study fee in lieu of the performing the TIS, which I believe was, if I recall correctly, it was.
Ms. Pete, the trips per day is based on the commercial and the residential together, not just one or the other, right?
Yeah, plus reviewed, DLDOT reviewed the entire project.
Okay.
Yes.
And there is a signalized intersection there.
Not at the site.
Not.
Near the site. Where's Autumn Road?
It's about, oh, quarter mile.
Yeah, up there. Oh, I'm sorry, okay.
Don't mean to distract anybody, but the, one of the conditions is there shall be no more than 140 units as well. It's halfway, you know, it's.
We're going to come in close to there.
It's an increase in density for 4 to 8, essentially round numbers, but no more than that.
Yeah.
Are there any other questions? Any other? Ms. Pete, did you have anything else to add?
I have nothing else to add. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to speak in favor of this application here? Anyone else in favor, sir or ma'am? He's sticking up his hand and pointing at you.
We're opposed.
Oh, you're opposed. Okay. We're just asking for those in favor at this point. Now it's opposed, so you can come on out.
Mark, I think that light is right there at McDonald's, which is just a hair north of this.
There's a light on.
Exactly.
It is not where you got the site.
Exactly, but it's just a hair off it there.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon.
My name is Sharon Herring, and I reside at 31711 Seymour Acres Lane, and my property borders the west side of this property that is up today. I'd like to take a few minutes of your time, and I also have two requests. When I received my postcard in the mail, I left a voicemail for Mr. Graylick to call me, hoping to request a barrier for along my property, and he never returned my call.
Where so is your property on this?
I am at the bottom end, where it says Seymour Acres.
Right there.
Right there.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
He never returned my call, so I am here today requesting American Storage of Delaware, LLC, if they could provide a barrier or fencing along my property. Also, I am requesting that the rezoning of all three of these parcels be deferred for another date until I can, or until someone here can look into my deed, because my deed says 3.11 acres and they submitted that I have 3 acres on all of your paperwork that you received. 2 weeks ago, as well, a representative from Tyler Technologies came to reassess my property, and she did confirm as well that I do have 3.11 acres.
I will point out to you, anything that they show has no effect on your land or your acreage whatsoever.
Okay.
So if you had 3.1 acres by your deed as shown by a survey, anything they show would not affect that.
Okay, so nothing that is submitted on record is
no,
not going to change my deed.
That is only as to their property. It's the only thing they can control and change.
Okay. 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 I know as elected officials, each one of you have difficult decisions to make here in Sussex County, affecting the lives of thousands of people. A response time for emergency services to get to area hospitals should frighten everyone in this room, not the time it takes to now get to the beach. When you drive throughout Sussex County, you see so many developments still under construction. Shouldn't we wait until these projects are near completion to see the true impact this has on not only our roadways, but also our medical facilities. The area hospitals are already struggling with overworked personnel and shortages of beds, which means we have not even seen the end result of these empty lots still for sale. Also, our environment and our wildlife. Everyone wants to move to this area. Believe me, it's truly a paradise, and you do have a tough job. We can all agree on that. And the wildlife, they seem to have moved to my property and to the property we are in discussion today. The wildlife, it's heartbreaking. Since the increase in the Bayless estates that's directly behind me, they brought them on, and there are deer and fawn literally 10 feet from my front door, basically every other day. Not only that, but wild turkeys, which you rarely see, skunks, owls, possums, raccoons, woodpeckers, I can go on. I'm just requesting that this can be deferred so we can look into this further. And my main concern was the lot, the 3.11 acres, as well as the emergency responses and the traffic congestion. And my biggest request, of course, is a barrier, because if this is going to be now heavy commercial, that is my request. Thank you for your time. Respectfully submitted.
Thank you.
And I would like to, could I get a copy of?
Sure, be glad to. Thank you. Is there anyone else here today that would like to speak in opposition of this? Anyone in opposition? Seeing none. Is there, operator, can you check to see if there is anyone listening remotely that would like to opine?
At this time, there is no one on the line.
Okay, thank you, operator. Mr. President, this time we can close the public hearings on these three matters, and if council desires, close the public record.
We'll close the public hearings. Okay, the council close the public record on all three of them. And Mr. Warner, read one at a time, short title.
Okay. And again, I'm going to read these not in the order printed because conditional use has to come last.
Sure.
Last. The first is change of zone number 1954, an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a C3 heavy commercial district for a portion of a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 8.27 acres, more or less, for reasons given by planning zoning numbered 1-7.
Riley? I would move to defer.
Motion, Mr. Riley.
Second.
Second, Mr. Hudson, to defer on change of zone 1954.
Wondering if we should leave the record open to accommodate this request or not. Is that not necessary?
For what purpose?
Request on the acreage.
We cannot check other people's acreages as part, because the request was for us to do research on their property, and anything that they do will not affect their property. If there's 3.1 acres, there'll still be 3.1 acres or whatever.
Okay.
Yeah, so
she's going to be safe then.
And yeah, nothing that this application does. I don't want to be in a position to try and certify what their acreage is without a new survey or new certification
right.
of title.
Right.
If it matters, we would certainly stipulate that these proceedings would have no impact on her title at all. If there is some other legal issue that's out there, well, so be it, but we would not ask that these proceedings be binding in any way to affect or minimize the size of her title.
Sure.
I've also asked my client about the fence issue. He hasn't got back to me yet.
Yeah. So your motion is to defer.
Thanks.
And then
what about the border or a fence or
that's what we would do when we bring it back up and to act on it after the deferral.
Yeah.
Then we could have another condition added to it to
yes.
require a fence or whatever. Yes, sure.
Yeah.
We've got a motion and a second.
Mm-hmm.
Question on a motion. We'll take the vote. Mr. Schaefer?
Yes.
Mrs. Green?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
I vote yes. So could change the zone 1954 is deferred. Next, Mr. Moore.
Yes, the next one is change of zone number 1955. an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to MR medium density residential district for a portion of certain parcels of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 17.63 acres, more or less, for the reasons given by planning zoning numbered 1 through 8.
Mr. Riley.
Motion to defer.
Motion to defer, second.
Second.
Mr. Hudson, questions on a motion?
I have a question.
Mr. Shaver.
And I should have asked this a minute ago. Should we allow the applicant to answer the question whether or not they're willing to put in some sort of buffering or screening? Or is that not necessary?
Well, that's not necessary. You can place that on there as condition whether or not they were in favor or not.
Correct. Okay. Yeah. Any more questions? We'll take the vote. Mr. Shaver.
Yes.
Mrs. Green?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Now, Mr. Moore, the conditional use.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. An ordinance grant a conditional use of land in the MR medium density residential district for multifamily units, 140 units, to be located on certain parcels of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 17.63 acres more or less, for the reasons given by planning zoning numbered 1 through 6 with conditions 7A through P.
Motion to defer.
Motion, Mr. Riley.
Second.
Second, Mr. Hudson, to defer on condition use 2315. Questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Shaver.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Conditional use 2315 is deferred. Okay, motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Riley.
Second.
Second, Mr. Shaver. Questions on the motion? Take a vote, Mr. Shaver.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
I vote yes. We're now adjourned. Thank everybody.